What's up, Slay Squad? It's your girl Lulu here, and we're back with another episode of Slay. And joining me this week is one of the funniest women I know. In 2011, she made her Bollywood debut in a movie called Rockstar. She then went on to get a nomination for the MTV Movie Award for Best Fight Scene in Spy alongside Jason Statham, Jude Law, and Melissa McCarthy. It's model, actress, and Bollywood sensation Nargis Fakhri. Nargis.
Yay. Aww. Thanks for such a lovely intro.
Bless you. Nargs, how are you, my lovely?
Very good. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you, darling. Now, Nargs, we've known each other for what? I'd say 4 years now?
Yes.
I'd say we met in probably like 2018, right?
Slay opened.
Yeah, so 2018, before the gym opened, maybe 2019.
Yeah.
But it was pre-pandemic.
Yes.
We met at a friend's house.
Yes.
And we had like an instant connection.
Yes.
Like we connected on a number of things. The fact that we're both Libras.
Yes.
The fact we have like multiple gut issues.
Yeah.
And we are both lovers of animal protein.
Yes.
All of the the trilogy, the Holy Trilogy. That's funny. But you know, one of the interesting things, I think, when you meet and make friends later on in life, like as adults, we very rarely know the path or the journeys of our friends and where they've come from and what they've had to go through to be where they're at right now.
Mm.
Now, you grew up in New York, Queens, New York.
Yes, ma'am.
What up?
Yeah.
And you now live in Dubai.
Yes.
Fabulous. What do you miss most about Queens?
That's a really good question. I guess, obviously, it's your home where you grew up. So there's like this sentimental, emotional connection there. I think Queens is a melting pot of cultures. And I've traveled around the world and I've never seen like a city like New York City where there has like everybody from everywhere.
Mm.
And you can find all sorts of cuisines from around the world, music, people, cultures all in one space. So I thought that was something that is pretty amazing and that I do miss.
Love that. What was it like growing up in the city? Because I grew up in like rural Cambridgeshire. Like,
oh, really?
I've always grown up in like the countryside. But what was it like?
Trees and grass and beautiful flowers.
It was so flat. Like, you know, there wasn't
so
a mountain
flat
for miles.
Okay.
But for you, the city, what was
that
like?
Yeah, well, New York City, the concrete jungle, is a pretty amazing city because it has so much to offer. The arts, the culture, the education, the different people you meet, whether they live there or they're visiting. I grew up in Queens, though, in the projects. So
tell
it's
me
very
what,
different.
What was that like?
The projects, first of all, is like government housing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call it? Like,
yeah, same
UK,
thing.
Government
like,
housing.
Yeah, council housing.
Council housing. Yeah. So similar to that. So low income, you know. You know, back in the day, it was okay because we were kids. We didn't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a rough neighborhood. It didn't start out rough. It was a really lovely neighborhood. And as we grew older, it started getting rough for whatever reason. So I've seen a lot of crazy things growing up. But in the end, I'm appreciative of my childhood because I think it taught me a lot and it made me who I am today. So.
Mm. Name one crazy thing that you saw growing up.
Lord, girl, I've seen a lot of crazy things.
Mm.
Oh. 1/4 of July, I woke up and I thought I heard fireworks, but I looked out my window and I saw someone getting shot.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's one crazy thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Were they okay? Or?
No, they died.
Oh, my gosh.
So I've seen it.
Well, did that, you know, environment, how did that feel like growing up? Did you feel safe? Were you always on edge?
I think when you're, like, if I think about things now, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, what the heck did I go through?
Right.
Like, no human or no child, of course, should be, like, exposed to certain things or go through that. So now that I see that, oh, my gosh, I grew up in a very chaotic place, whether it was my own household or the other households around us.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of single mothers. Mm. So that was also something I remembered. Like, oh, wow, there's a lot of strong, independent women, but because they didn't have a choice.
Mm.
But so I learned a lot from all these women, you know, the resilience to keep going. But yeah, like, I would just say chaos. And yes, you feel unsafe, but you learn how to protect yourself.
Mm.
So you stay safe.
Got you.
Yeah.
And you talked about your household. What did that look like? two parents?
No, so single mom. Mm-hmm. I mean, she wasn't single. They divorced when I was like 10. But okay. Like, obviously, they didn't have the greatest relationship because mm-hmm. my father had a lot of issues that were not conducive to a healthy, you know, family environment. But my mom being the strong woman and protecting us, she, you know, divorced him. Mm-hmm. And actually, I remember, and I chat about this with my mom, like, when she finally, like, stood up to get rid of my dad, mm-hmm. life was a little bit better, at least for us. Like, it seemed like it. I was very young, so I don't know what she was going through or what she was feeling, but it just seemed like it got better.
What did it feel like to you?
Like a relief. Yeah.
Do you feel like as a child you kind of, like, was able to sense that perhaps weight off of the household?
I think so. I think as children, what people don't realize is that we're so smart. Mm. Like, even if you're 2 years old, that child is absorbing everything around him or herself. Mm. And we don't know how to process it properly, but we know something's wrong. Mm. So I think that I probably, because I'm the oldest, like, I probably knew what was going on but didn't understand, but could feel the energy of the people mm-hmm. that I'm surrounded by. Mm. So that's interesting to think about. So when I say it was a relief, most likely I didn't know why it was a relief, but the energies must have, like, settled a bit. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you know, the energies weren't perfect, because then my mom had to struggle even more, like, support us, and she was going to school, like, so many things. So it was very hard for her.
Mm. Mm. Do you have any really positive, like, childhood memories from that time?
Yeah, you know, thinking about it, considering that we're all attached to our phones today, mm-hmm. the positive part is that we didn't have that, so we actually played outside.
Mm.
And we would play so many games, like, I don't know, what is it?
Double Dutch. I remember you said in the gym last week, you were like, we had the battle ropes out, and you were...
Yes, we had the battle ropes out, we'd double dutch, we'd climb trees, we'd... play manhunt, so we'd have teams and we'd run around, and we have these big buildings, like 7-story buildings, so there was always rules. You can't hide in someone's house. But sometimes people would cheat, so we would be running on the roofs and the basements, hiding in a dumpster, like,
wow.
It was great. So it was great growing up. It was a gang of us, I guess, when we were young. Obviously, then as people get older and you get into your teenage years, things mm-hmm. got a little more rough, because that young adult phase becomes a little crazy. Mm. But as young kids, it was good.
Mm. Mm. So did you mix with kids that were similar age, or did you find yourself mixing with people who were a little bit older?
I think when I remember back then, it was everyone everywhere on mm-hmm. all ages.
Yeah.
'Cause there was like this, like, the way it's structured in the projects, there's like a few buildings and like an inner courtyard and benches.
Mm-hmm.
So people who lived in those buildings would come hang out on those benches.
Mm.
But then a couple of, like, a feet away, there's another set, another way that it's structured where they have their own benches and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we go to those people's benches,
right,
or people would come to our benches. And it was like from young kids playing outside to teenagers and then adults as well. Mm. So a whole bunch of different people. So you have to also watch out when you're young, because some of the adults would tattletale on you
mm-hmm.
and tell your parents you're misbehaving.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, it was the opposite where I grew up. We had, I remember a lady called Wendy.
Yeah.
She used to hang out at our local park. I remember her kids were like toddlers.
Yeah.
And so let's say we were like maybe seven, eight. She used to be there all day long, but she used to give the children cigarettes.
Oh,
the adults almost, like, the presence of the adults in that environment negatively impacted the children, because it was forcing them to see things and grow up faster than they otherwise would have.
That also was there.
Mm.
That also was there. It was a lot of different people. There was people that did drugs as well, but as kids, I guess we didn't realize it, but maybe we did. There was also a bunch of prostitutes there. I just didn't want to say all that, but
you can say it, girl.
But there was like a couple of people that were decent families or mm-hmm. decent moms that would yell at the kids, you know, if they're making a mess or doing something. So you had some very few decent families with a few families that were really messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they were all like, the decent family moms wouldn't be outside. They would be inside looking from their window.
Got you.
And then the naughty, I guess, naughty or the messed up adults would be outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we were kids and, like, I guess we were playing and running around. But you're right. That seeing the smoking, I'm sure some people, saw drugs happening. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of friends that became, you know, not well because they became alcoholics or drug addicts and stuff like that. So, yes, you're right. Seeing those type of people did have an influence on the children, which is not good.
No doubt. If you look back and you think about your childhood now and effectively being raised from a young age by a single mum, you know, how does that shape your view of her and what she was doing for you at that time, if you're looking back now as an adult?
Oh, yeah. So, like, wow. Yeah, that's a great question. I think as we're growing up and we're children and we're teenagers and young adults, we don't understand because we haven't experienced life where we can't find the compassion or empathy.
Right.
So I think, like, for a long time, I was very angry at her, I guess, for many different things. But now, as I'm older, and I went through so much, oh my God, maybe not exactly similar, but sort of similar things, because my mom came to a new country, couldn't speak English, you know, didn't know how to find her way, and I kind of went to another country, as later you probably bring it up, and I couldn't speak their language, so the navigation was quite difficult, and you just don't know who you can trust, blah, blah, blah. So now that I went through so many things as an adult, I have so much compassion and empathy for her. And I'm just like, damn, she pulled through. No matter what or how she did her parenting, I can't say anything because I turned out great, thank God. So, but she stayed and stuck by us. And that's hard.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know a lot of people, they gave their kids up or the kids were homeless or... So many different people I know, and she did her best, and I appreciate that. And she instilled a lot of great qualities in me.
Like what?
Being independent, making sure to get my education, always making my own money, like knowing how to do like the feminine things like cooking and doing housework, but yet being so educated and knowing that I can have a job, like finding balance in that. Also always telling me to never settle for just anyone. Don't have kids right away because obviously you want to make sure who you're having the kids with is mentally sane and financially stable.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, and that you also as a human are mentally sane and financially stable. So she, yeah, a lot of great things. She instilled traveling, like, and how important it is to see the world.
Because your mom's from the Czech Republic, right? Yes. And your father was from Pakistan.
Yes, yes.
In what ways do you think your father shaped the person you are today as an adult as well?
That's a good question. I think about that a lot. Also, I had a lot of anger growing up. I was an angry child. But I always had a smile on my face.
Yeah.
It was a lot of internal shoving things in and holding it in, but always made jokes and always smiled. How did my father shape my life? I guess, in a way, because he, in a good, and let's put it in a positive way, because I have a lot of negative ways.
Right.
But in a positive way, I became a stronger woman. I became more resilient. I think that I really listened to my mom on the good parts that she, you know, taught us about the education and about the travel and stuff. Because I think if my father was around, I wouldn't be who I am today. And I wouldn't have traveled the way I traveled.
Who do you think you'd have become?
You know, I don't know. Because my dad's from a different culture. And I'm not sure. And my mom's from a different culture. Like, my dad was Muslim and my mom's Catholic. And I think in the Islamic culture, I would have been considered Muslim, and maybe I would have had to been married at a young age. I don't know. You know, it could be many different things that could have happened. Or maybe he would have ended up being more open-minded. And you never know. Maybe I could have still been who I am. Maybe I would have learned the Hindi language better because he spoke Urdu and Hindi. So we don't know. We can only just guess. But the positive thing is I think that I really became a strong, independent woman.
So What was your relationship with Bollywood prior to working there? You know, you mentioned obviously your father speaking Urdu, and you mentioned earlier you kind of hinted to the fact that perhaps you weren't necessarily super, you know, it wasn't an easy language to like pick up when you went to India and you had to perform on screen. Like, how did you navigate that?
Oh gosh. Well, you asked first about Bollywood in my younger days. So I wasn't really exposed that much because obviously my dad wasn't in my life long enough. Mm-hmm. But I do remember loving Indian Pakistani food.
Mm-hmm.
As a child, I loved spices.
Yep.
Like my favorite dessert was rasmalai.
Same.
So you too?
Absolutely.
I love that.
But then I'm like lactose intolerant.
Oh, no, so it's
I'm
okay. Like, just eat it exactly. And deal with the I'm stuff like, later.
I'll just take one for the tea.
Yes, just you have to.
Mm-hmm.
And like... I remember this channel, like it's kind of like vague now, channel 47, I think it was. And it was like the Indian TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I do remember I don't remember much because obviously you have to remember I'm like 6 or 7 years old.
Right.
Some Bollywood stuff like dancing and singing things. Mm-hmm. I have no idea who they were. I just remember that I did hear some of the music because we would laugh at hearing it, you know, because it's so different.
Yeah.
And then I do remember my dad getting me like bangles and like some kind of kurta outfit.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I remember, like about my dad and anything that has to do with his culture.
Yeah. So fast forward. You're literally
100 years later.
Yeah. And someone's pointing a camera and is like, action.
Yeah.
And then like, how did you navigate that? How did you perhaps find that inside of yourself? And how did you find the portrayals on screen?
So first I'll tell you that before that opportunity came about, I don't think I ever told you this, I had this, I think it's called existential crisis.
Yeah, existential crisis. Yeah. Yeah.
Where I was like, who the hell am I? You know?
Why do you think that came about?
I think, because I'm a mixed race baby, and I think you can maybe identify with being mixed and not really knowing where do I fit in.
Right.
'Cause I'm not brown enough to be Indian.
Yes.
I don't even look so Indian.
Yeah.
And then I'm not white enough to fit in my mom's culture as well.
Yep.
So I was always feeling a little lost as a kid, teenager. And then obviously I grew up with a lot of African Americans and Latin people. And so obviously I'm not black, even though my friends be like, oh, you black girl. I'm like, no, I'm not black, but thanks. I'm just saying, I wouldn't really be accepted anywhere, or at least that's how I felt.
Right.
So I think as I got older, much older, I wanted to know, like, my heritage, I should say. Like, where do I come from? Because I think my mom loved my dad like so much because there was no pictures of him anywhere.
Oh.
Yeah, and she never spoke about him.
You think she got rid of them?
No, I found him in a suitcase later.
Oh.
Yeah.
So she did the stash thing. She
yes.
put them, she didn't want to get rid of the memories,
no.
But she definitely wanted them like
out of
sight.
It was in an old, like, it had to be about like 50-year-old, if not more. I think it's my grandmother's
suitcase. And
no, yeah,
leather.
With the handle. You know, how did they travel back then? Oh my God, that luggage was crazy. No wheels.
My parents had, I remember it was like a blue, baby blue leather
God.
Thing.
Oh my God, I think we had a baby blue one too.
Damn,
oh my God.
They must have shopped at the same place.
Yeah. So they were stored up in this old leathery, like holding carry-on suitcase. Yeah. So I think when you get to a certain age, you want to know who you are. What are you? You know, I don't fit in anywhere, but I'd like to know, like, what's my heritage? What's in my DNA? And so I was asking God. You know, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray like in my own like way. And I started asking questions to God. I'm like, oh, I would really love to know like who am I? Like, what is my mom's culture? What did they eat? What's the music? Like, what does the land look like? And then my dad's culture, I'm like the same thing. I don't know anything. It's like a mystery. And then I swear, when they say ask and you shall receive, it's true. Because I got a movie. I got an email out of nowhere. Hi, we'd like you to come audition for this movie. I'm like, hi, what kind of email is this? And who are you? And what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, the director would love for you to come in. Here's the address. Can you please come in on blah, blah, blah. I wrote back, "Hi, I've never been to India. I have no idea who you are. And how did you get my email?" Then the person told me how. Then the person later said, "Sorry, okay, we thought you were an Indian model."
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out that when I lived in Greece, I did a job for a jewelry ad that was all over India.
Ah.
And it was an Indian production house. And they probably chose me because my name and I
yep.
was the model that looked Indian there, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I get these emails and then finally they're like, "Oh, okay, sorry, we thought you were a model in India." Okay, cool. A week or two later, another email. "Oh, the director's coming to Prague."
What?
Yes. Yeah. I never told you this, right?
That's nuts.
Yes. Let me tell you this.
For those who don't know, Prague is the capital of the Czech Republic.
Yes.
So the link, my mom the is familial
from,
link.
Yeah. From Czech Republic.
Yeah.
So I told my boyfriend at the time, he was a Danish guy. I was living in Denmark. It was really nice in Denmark. And then he said he checked him out, this guy, who he is. He's like, "Okay, he looks legit." Because obviously I don't know anything about the movie industry or anything about India. My boyfriend says, at the time, my boyfriend says, "He seems okay, you know, just go, just check it out. You're visiting your mom's country, you can sightsee. And if he's weird, just kick him in the balls and run."
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, "Yeah, babe, that's what I'll do."
Queens.
Yeah, from Queens, yeah. So then I go there and I meet this guy and he's like a very, I wouldn't say skinny, but like slim man with crazy big hair.
Uh-huh.
And I'm hesitant, obviously, but polite, and he's polite. And then he shares this story of the film. And I sit there, I think, for over an hour listening to this story, and I swear I visualized the whole film in my head and I could see myself as that character. And he was, and he had other people with him, and they were watching me listening, and they said that my face was so animated.
Yeah.
Because I was so pulled into this story. Like, I felt every emotion and all the ups and downs in this story.
Mm-hmm.
So cool, great. We met that day. Then I stayed over. I went sightseeing.
Mm-hmm.
My English is so bad. So I decided to go sightseeing, and then I met up with the director again, and I had a lovely like time with him, chatting, getting to know each other. And then I left after 3 days, I think. Yeah, it was 3 days. I went back home to Denmark, and I was like, okay, it was really nice meeting the director. He mentioned if I could come to India, he would try to help me learn the language and give me acting classes and stuff. And I wasn't sure yet. I thought about it for a couple of weeks. And they told me in the email that they're going to be shooting in the north of India in Kashmir, which is the border of Pakistan,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yep.
that little space.
Yep.
And all of northern India. So I was like, wow, this is really weird that my dad is from there. And I wanted to know who my dad is. And I'm getting to shoot as close as I can to where he's from.
Right.
And then we're going to be shooting in my mom's country.
It's like you're being dragged home.
Yes. And this is what I asked God about. I said,
goosebumps.
I want to, really, right? It's crazy. I'm telling you, there's many stories in my life like this. So then I say, okay, because I'm like, you know what? Why not? The least or the greatest thing that I can take away is that mm-hmm. I get to know who I am. And that was the mindset I went into this project with, because I left everything. I was a good model. I made great money. I left it. I left my friends, my family, everybody, to go to a place I had no idea about. Couldn't speak the language. Don't know anything. Don't know what to expect. I just hopped on a plane and I left.
Mm-hmm.
And I booked a hotel that looked nice online, which, by the way, don't ever trust online pictures.
It didn't turn out the way you planned.
No, not as nice as it was online. And then I remember arriving and I looked. It was jet lagging, so it was still night. And I'm looking out the window as the sun is rising, and then everything just started moving and waking up. And there were so many people, so many cars, so much honking. I was like, I didn't leave the hotel for 2 days.
Wow.
I was so afraid because I'd never seen so much happening in one space. It was so overwhelming. So that's my first like real experience on my own there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that happened. I stayed. It took about, I think. Okay, so we started shooting September. So I had about 6 months to try to learn the language and some acting and stuff. And I was in a small office for 10 hours a day.
Wow.
I committed. I really committed. I had no idea who these people were.
Mm.
No idea who my co-actor was. Nothing. I didn't know they were so famous and well-known. I didn't even bother to ask or research. That's how naive I was, and also that wasn't my agenda. Mm-hmm. My agenda was like, I'm gonna know me.
I think that's also the beauty of you, Nargis.
Yeah,
I think definitely it's the
I'm naive.
just the adventurer in you.
Yes,
I think there's definitely, you know, even when you walk into the gym, you know, and there's new people around, you're one of those people that I notice immediately. Hi, introducing themselves to somebody new.
Yeah,
like, but you know, not overpowering the space.
No,
going off doing your own thing, super independent. But it definitely is a very special thing. You allow everybody in. You're very open.
Yes, which is also not good too, by the way, guys.
So we'll come back around to that.
That being so open and authentic and loving is could get you in trouble.
So
people could misinterpret it, I guess.
Got you.
Yeah.
Were you ever like taken advantage of? And
I think people thought I'm flirting sometimes. I'm like, guys, I'm just really friendly and I'm very curious. I think that's my thing. I have a childlike wonderment. Is that the right word?
Yep.
Where I have so much curiosity about different things and about people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hate talking about myself. It gives me brain damage. I really hate it. I go home sometimes after interviews or being out there working and I'm like, my head hurts. I don't want to keep saying the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I don't care about me because I know me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in the person interviewing me.
Yeah. The interesting thing was, we talked about this in the gym the other day, didn't we? About that you have a tendency to kind of minimize sometimes your own achievements.
Oh, yeah.
And deflect. And yes. I was like, Nargis, no, I'm going to put you on the spot. Because I think the interesting thing, you know, even just in the conversation we've been having, I think there are so many women out there who have grown up in inner city areas and made their way out of poverty, have grown up in single parent households. Mm-hmm. We didn't mention that you lost your father around age 22. I did as well.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we talked about our connections in terms of like lovers of protein and gut issues. But I actually think that there's a lot more women out there like us.
Okay, so you're saying we had, like, because I remember I had said, I'm like, who cares about what I have to say?
I think everybody cares.
Yeah, then you said, but there's so many people that could relate to you and feel that they're not alone.
100%.
And that was really nice, like, to hear. Because I'm like, okay, you know, I think for me, if I can make someone smile, because, you know, I'm always, like, making jokes.
Absolutely.
That makes me happy. Like, people have said, oh, my God, I had such a bad day, but it was so great to bump into you because you made me laugh my ass off. So I feel so much better. I'm like, oh, good.
Absolutely.
So true, yeah. The minimizing thing comes, I think, from childhood stuff too, you know, like, also there's like I had said to you, a survivor's guilt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that, because this was the first time I'd actually ever heard the term.
Yeah.
Break it down to me.
Usually
what does it mean?
They use it for, like, I guess if there's abuse and other things or even more bad things happening, or if, God, you know, there's a war and your family's killed and
I feel like I did Google it after we
did
spoke.
You what did it say?
Well, it said, you know, survivor's guilt is often people who have experienced almost like a life threatening event.
Yes.
And survived.
Yes.
And often thought about, why did I survive?
Yes,
and
yes.
Somebody else
did
not it. Make it.
Yes.
And so that was a really interesting thing.
Yes.
Tell me why. What's your connection to that?
So it's like I realized that later in life, because I'm like certain things that I do, I'm a very introspective human and
yes,
always seeking to find out who I am and how can I be better. This is my goal in life. I guess since I was really young, I'd go to all the self-help sections in the library and Barnes and Nobles, and I'd sit there and read. Even if I couldn't afford the book, I'd go to, remember Barnes and Nobles?
Yep.
You could just sit there and read. So I realized this because you, like, coming from the projects or a low income environment, and a lot of people have a lot of like mental health issues, which lead to drug addiction and so many other things. A lot of disparity, I guess you could say, because people feel hopeless there. Why am I here today? Like,
why
how
are
did
you
I?
Here? How did you make it out?
Yeah. That's a good question, because I always also ask. I ask many questions to myself, to God, to professionals out there. Like, I'm always seeking that knowledge. Is it nurture? You know, the nurture versus nature.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have. I'm more. I look more like my dad, maybe the exotic part, but I'm personality of my mother.
What and are the characteristics? Mother,
she's very strong.
Right.
Yeah. Like, even though I'm a crybaby, don't tell anybody. I love to give it a good cry, and I cry a lot. I don't care. I'll cry anywhere.
Absolutely.
I don't want to cry today, though.
No.
This is not a crying
We
podcast.
Don't want you to cry either.
But it's a release, you know, when you have a lot of stress. Or even when I'm happy, I cry. If something amazing happens to someone else, I cry. Like, people who watch movies with me, they're like, oh, my God.
You sound like you have a great deal of empathy. That's a really healthy trait.
I like cry, and then I'm like yelling at the screen. I'm like, that motherfucker. The people around me are like, I told you it's just a movie. I'm like, but no.
Exactly.
It's not just a movie. It's more than a movie. This is real life people's stories.
You're invested.
I'm invested. Sounds I'm invested like, in humans for some reason.
What I think makes you a really great friend, because I feel like if anybody slighted your friend, you would be there.
Oh, my gosh. But I get angry.
The question is, what happens when people slight you?
That's a thing I learned, that I'm okay with it, because this is another thing. I'm the stronger one. I feel like I could do it. I'm the stronger one. Because I was always...
Does that make it okay, though?
No, it doesn't. And that's what I learned. I learned that I didn't have boundaries.
When did you learn that?
Oh, my gosh. Later. Like, in the last couple of years.
Was there one particular event that you kind of realized, I need to do things differently?
You know, in my relationships, I guess I learned a lot. Because that's the closest people to you, and you allow those people to do certain things, and you forgive them because you love them, or you think it's like you can work through it. But there has to be a boundary of how much can you forgive and work through, because if another person's not participating, where is it going? And so I think that comes from childhood too, because when you're in a certain environment where it's a little chaotic and you're doing so much for other people in your house because they're your family and you have to, and you're the older one, the stronger one, the braver one, you take on more. But in reality, it's not good, because then you start doing that in your regular life with everyone as you grow up.
How did that manifest itself? Like, where would you feel you would overextend in relationships?
Financially sometimes. Like, I'm really romantic, like gift giver, finances, just caring, even carrying emotional baggage for people, which is so not healthy for anyone. And that comes also, everything stems from our childhood and gets carried on. And it's our responsibility to acknowledge that and work through it. So it just took me some time to, like, I think I realized things, but because humans get stuck in a pattern, it's very hard to break our pattern.
How did you break yours?
Just constantly being aware, and anytime. So I learned a lot. I had therapy. Like, I saw this counselor for a very long time. She's wonderful. I think I might call her to see her again just to say hello. And I read a lot of books and I watch a lot of videos. I don't know. People who know me, they know I don't listen to music. I only have podcasts going on about the science of the human body and the brain, psychology stuff, health stuff. And so I, through all of that and knowing, hey, there's something wrong here, but how can I catch myself?
Wrong with what?
With the patterns of not having boundaries.
Right.
And allowing myself to be a people pleaser, allowing people to, like, I guess, walk all over you.
Yeah.
What but not really, you don't even realize it sometimes because you're so used to it.
What type of people are walking over you?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, family members, unfortunately, they even played a big part or play a big part still. But, you know, I'm better at, like, maneuvering because of everything I learned. And then maybe some friends, you know. Sometimes it's hard to tell with friends. But I notice some friends and I'm just like, okay, I'm going to step back a bit. Yeah, so you give a little distance and you don't become so close. And then definitely I have to keep saying relationships. Even though I would have loved to get married to the first boyfriend I met, I'm glad I didn't. Because I also learned so much.
Right.
Because that's the close encounter. That's the living in each other's space. That's the interacting on a daily basis and the true selves each true person comes out, right? Mm. So then at least in my mistakes or whatever was happening in each relationship, I like to step away and think about it. And even now, I'll Google things like, why does this happen? What is this feeling? How do I overcome this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I told you a story this morning, which we won't talk about on camera, but I used to be a very aggressive person, not very feminine, very manly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, especially with my partners. I'm like, yo, fuck you. I make my own money. I buy my own things. I pay my own bills. Please, I don't need you. That's me.
I know that. But what's different?
I don't need you. What do you mean used to be? Yeah, it's still inside of me. Let me fix my
Absolutely.
Collar.
Absolutely. Pop
I
that collar.
I had to learn how to be more feminine and the way I spoke.
Okay.
But this morning, you know, sometimes you get really angry. But not this morning. I do it now. Mm-hmm. I do things differently because you can take the girl out of Queens, but you can't take the Queens out of the girl.
Mm-hmm.
So I've learned to, like, work on that stuff. So this morning I went to the bathroom, and I don't know if you're going to beep this, but I was like, fuck you. I'm out of here. Fuck you. Because I had so much rage.
I don't want
to put that on my partner or anybody else.
But did you stay though?
I stayed. Because you know why? This is what I learned. That we have a wise mind and an emotional mind.
Mm.
So that was my emotional mind that couldn't regulate at the moment and needed to punch people and say curses and like be thugged out.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
So instead I went to the bathroom and I looked in the mirror like, you know, making all these faces and stuff.
Oh
and,
my God.
And cursing.
But at least you did it in front of the mirror, right?
In front of the mirror. And then I got
What
it
would
out.
Old Nargis have done?
And old Nargis would have been like about to fight. I mean, head-to-head combat, like, I'm going to knock you out.
But he's a big guy, though, isn't he? Your guy.
No, but even a little guy. Men are stronger than women. I'm sorry. That's just the way biology is. Yeah, most men.
Yeah.
And I learned that this kind of confrontation is not healthy.
Right.
So these are some of the things that I learned, you know, when learning my boundaries and learning my patterns. And I'm like, yeah, this is not working. Let me try something else. Let me try what I learned, the feminine way, the more calm.
And what was that?
Like being more calm and nurturing and calm and nurturing and understanding. But like you had said, you know, sometimes people get emotional, especially guys, and they'll say stupid things or do whatever. But let's wait till we all calm down and come back and talk about stuff. And I think the woman is really good at that because we're good at communicating.
Mm.
And just being softer in my tone helps.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling someone this, and they were like, oh, are you being manipulative? And I'm like, no, I'm just changing my communication style. From being like, yo, what the f-? Until like, babe, you know.
And what happens when you change the communication style?
It works. Sometimes it depends. It might not work right away. Mm-hmm. But if I hold on to that femininity and the softness, it ends up coming through. Yeah. And also remembering that when people are angry, you can't bring things up. You got to wait. So these are things I learned from podcasts and books and stuff.
I love that.
Because no one taught me. It's a journey. It's good.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And talking of journeys, for any other woman who is out there who's feeling like perhaps overwhelmed, overworked, thinks of themselves as super independent, but is struggling with their boundaries, what advice would you give them?
I guess the first thing is, when you're feeling something like that, like, question, why am I feeling like that? What's happening at the moment, or what happened that's making me feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
And where can I address, like, if you're overworked, I know we have to work, and I've been there. Maybe you can do something for yourself. I don't know if you're married or have kids. I understand that's really hard. Hopefully, maybe if you have family to take care of the kids, you could send them off and have your own day of doing nothing and just for yourself, maybe.
So find some support. Or
or do something that makes you happy and feel good, like exercise.
Go on.
Come to you, because after like, you know me, I cry in the sessions. I just scream and I'm no, Lou, no.
I mean, it's kind of fake tears. This is the funny thing about Nargis.
I hate working out.
You love working out.
I love the feeling afterwards. Like, I get high.
Yeah.
My eyes start getting like all closed and I'm like feeling euphoric. And when I leave you and I get into the car, I'm like, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah. I feel great. So I don't know. Each circumstance for each woman is different. Mm-hmm. And they just have to evaluate what's going on in their life and put themselves first. Mm-hmm. Because I think we forget to put ourselves first. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, we absolutely do.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of putting yourself first, like, you know, we had the pleasure of working out for quite a long time.
Yeah.
You know, during the pandemic, we created our own little girl bubble. And you're back now for a brief period before heading back out again. And you've been back into the gym and slamming them balls and, you know, having that stress relief. And, you know, it's been really beautiful watching you back in the space. I must admit, like, I love it. I love it when you come to Slay. Love it, Nogs.
And I love working with you.
You bring great. Such energy.
You kill us, but you kill us with your sweet,
With kindness.
Yeah, you kill us with the kindness.
And squats.
Yes. Oh, my God. Tell me about it. I need a massage.
So I got a question for you. Fitness question.
Okay.
Over the course of, let's say, you know, the past 7 days, what are you taking back to buy with you with regards to your fitness?
So you know how I was about weightlifting, because I just was never into weightlifting, but I know it's really important and I know I have to do it. So that is something I'm taking back with me.
Yay! Yeah. A win.
And to make sure that I'm getting enough protein.
Okay.
Which I already knew that before. But I know that I need to do that, especially after a certain age. Also, for every human, you know, we're disintegrating.
We're literally just melting away, into the ether.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't want to be flabby.
Evaporating.
I want to be strong. And that's another thing that now, you know, I grew up where skinny, like wafy model look, anorexia was in.
Right.
So I was a 00 my whole life. Damn. Naturally, you know, from 00 to 4 fluctuating. And obviously there was a lot of pressure as a model to be slim. And now I'm not as slim as I used to be. So that took time to adjust and come to terms with growing up, becoming an adult and changing in my mind, changing in my body. Like, everything's changing and not in a bad way. So I had to change my perception. So now my perception is I just want to be strong and fit and healthy.
Oh, I love
that. And that's it. And all that matters mostly is that my mental health is intact.
I love
that. So that's the thing.
What are you looking forward to next? What's next for you, career wise life wise
well, I just had an interview with a Indian newspaper, and they were asking about this new series I just did, but I couldn't really talk about it. So what's next is actually
a TV series.
But it's in India, the channel. But the story was so cool, and it was a really big challenge. And I'm a little nervous because I didn't have a lot of time on it. It was very quick, like, oh, yeah, you want to do it? Oh, my God, that's amazing. Let's go. Like that type of thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God, I got to rehearse. I got to do this. So it was not a lot of time for prepping. And usually I would say no, because I've passed up a lot of projects for different reasons. But this one, I would be like, oh, my God, I don't have enough prep time. But I love the character so much. So much. And
why?
I really pray and hope that this series comes out great, because when I read it, I was like, wow, this is so fun.
Why did you love the character? Was there something in the character that you saw in yourself?
A little bit.
Can you tell us a little bit about the character?
When is this coming out? I don't know.
We'll delay it. Tell us just one thing that you liked about the character without giving anything away.
Okay. Obviously, she had a little bit of a personality of mine, but not fully. She had more that was so different from me.
In what way? How was she different?
How she used her femininity to get what she wanted.
Was she a seductress?
Yeah.
Oh. Are you not a seductress?
No.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy? Okay. Don't tell anybody, because I look hot in my pictures. Everybody has an image of Nargis Fakhri being the seductress.
Oh, so this is a new role you're stepping into.
Yeah,
oh, I love this.
So I said, I read it. I was like, oh, okay, maybe I shouldn't do this. Oh, but I'm like, you know what? I wanted to take the chance of something different. And it's a little risque for me in different, you know, areas. So I was like, F it. I'm just going to try it. You know, who cares? I don't know how it's going to come out. If it comes out bad, I'm sorry, everybody. But I hope it comes out good, that you love it so much, because I loved it so much.
I love this. Yeah. Narg, it sounds like you are stepping into your power, my friend.
Yes, it's nice.
I love that.
Yeah, can't nobody tell me nothing.
That's
right. I'm making my choices. Even if I mess up, I'm okay with it. I'm holding myself accountable for my decisions, and no one's going to tell me what to do.
Excellent. Nargs, we're going to wrap up with one final question. If there's one thing that you were put on this earth to do, that you were put on this earth to slay, what would that be? And you have to start it with, I came to slay X, Y, or Z.
Really? But yeah. What would I slay? I don't know.
You tell me.
I came to slay? That's a hard one for me, because I'm discovering new stuff about me, and I'm discovering old things I desire that I never accomplished or went to because I was pulled in another direction at the time. But I think, how can I form this? Like, I came to slay, to be at service to others. Does that make sense?
I love that.
Okay.
I like service. Yeah. You know, everything I do is
very service driven. Yeah, you are at service to others. You make people feel good. You put them in shape. Mm. You counsel them, some people. So I think, that is the most fulfilling thing to slay. Like, you know what I mean? It fulfills your heart. I got teary eyed.
I know. I can see you.
Yeah, I get very emotional. Aww. I'm an emotional person. Maybe acting is good for me too, because I get to express all these different emotions. Yeah.
Well, we love you, Narg.
I love you too.
We're so thankful that you came to say.
Yes, I'm so happy.
And we look forward to watching your new project.
Yes. I don't know if you see it in America, but let's see. Maybe it will. I don't know. Someone has those boxes where you can get all the channels.
I think they're called VPNs or something like that.
I don't know.
I have
like
no
black
idea.
Box or
I'm
something.
Pretending like I know. I've got
no
idea.
I don't know either.
Fabulous.
Okay.
Thanks for coming on, Nagi. We love you.
Thank you.
So that's a wrap. I'm Louise Hazel. You can find me at Louise Hazel on Instagram, and you can find Nargis at Nargis Fakhri on Instagram. You can also follow our Instagram page, Slay, at Slay Athletic. And don't forget to like, save, share, and comment. You can find us on Spotify, YouTube, Apple, and Google Podcasts. That's it for this week. We look forward to seeing you next week. Mwah.